Good afternoon, everyone.
It's my privilege to gavel to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting for this Tuesday, July 5th. Good to see everybody here. A lot more uniforms in the room than there were at the last committee meeting. Item number two is approval of the minutes from our June 1 special meeting and our June 6 meeting. Do we have a motion, please?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion to approve in a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you're here to make a public comment, please come forward. Give your name and address. Anybody here for public comment? Going once, going twice. All right, item number four, police matters. A is employee years of service recognition. Chief Arnold.
Good afternoon, Mayor, committee members. If I can ask Alex Sanford and Jonathan Kinder to come forward, please. I normally do these one at a time, but these two are like the Wonder Twins. So they both started 5 years ago and in the patrol division, which is where they currently are assigned and serving the town of Mount Pleasant. They're both currently members of our SWAT team, and they're both currently members of our Swiftwater Rescue Team. So I want to thank you guys for five years of great work and look forward to many more, all right? Congratulations.
On behalf of all the committee, we certainly appreciate your 5 years and look forward to many, many more. Is that it for?
That's it for employee recognition.
Got it. You'll be back up here in a minute.
Yep.
Item B is under four is discussion and possible action regarding memoranda of agreement for school resource officer program for between the town and East Cooper Montessori, Charleston County School District, and Oceanside Collegiate Academy. Who's going to give us the details on that one? Either one?
Yes, good morning, Mayor and Committee. These are MOAs, as you all know, every month. Our state law requires that our council approve certain agreements. These are memorandum of agreements with the various schools and will, of course, allow for services officers within those schools. These schools are not covered by the school district. They are charter schools, I believe, and as such, these contracts are not covered by the school district, so that is the intent. And, of course, Chief Arnold here is to talk about specifics, enforcement, and the like.
I have a question.
Sure.
So items one and three, East Cooper Montessori and Oceanside Collegiate, are the charter schools, and then it's a third agreement with Charleston County for the Charleston
Correct.
County schools.
Correct.
Do we already historically provide, because I know we do Charleston County, is this additional SROs for East Cooper and Oceanside, or have we been providing with them?
We've been providing those. It's just that we now have an MOU with them. So the Charleston County School District is the annual renewal that we do. Oceanside's is a renewal from last year. We began that one, and then East Cooper Montessori is a new MOA with that school. But we've had officers at those schools.
I see. And do they, in the MOA, is there, do they provide some financial support back to the town to subsidize these officers, or is it the town 100% covering them?
No, they support with funding.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what is required of us? Do we need a motion?
Council, and if recommended, these will appear on the council agenda next Tuesday.
All right.
Move to approve the MOAs with East Cooper Montessori Charter School, Charleston County School District, and Oceanside Collegiate Academy to move forward to council with a recommendation for approval.
Second. All right, we have a motion. We have a second. We are in discussion. Any discussion? Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I heard the chief say that we do receive funding from Charleston County for that MOA. Will we receive funding from East Cooper Montessori and Oceanside Collegiate, and what is the percentage?
We will receive funding. I don't have it by percentage. I have it by dollar amount. So
from dollar amount can you extrapolate percentage?
We don't make people solve math problems in open session.
Perhaps we could have that information ready for council meeting on Tuesday?
Certainly.
Yeah, that's fine if you don't have it.
If you would like it as a percentage, we can do it as a percentage for the council meeting.
Either way, whichever's easiest.
It is in the agreement, each amount. They are slightly different, and there is a reason they're different. This is the first time we're getting it from East Cooper, so they have one rate slightly higher or slightly, and they're lower, slightly different is Oceanside because they work with us for a grant. And then Charleston County School District is an increase of 2% over the prior year.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. While we're in discussion, Mr. Paglini, I have a sort of a legal question. It's within the bounds of this discussion and the motion. If we have further conversations about level of school security that's provided within the town that we're involved in, does that fall under a provision of the public meetings where that does not have to be? In other words, we don't have to let the whole world know to what degree we protect our schools. And if we were to choose to enhance that or enhance that greatly, can that be done without letting everyone know exactly what we're doing?
Yes, sir. I think there are three distinct categories to consider. One is tactical nature, specifics of the police work and security. Those would be for executive session. Two is certain contractual nature. For example, values of contracts, negotiations could be an executive session. And then, of course, the third is just general discussion, council questions, public information, like we're having now, would be open session. Right. So I think those are the three categories we need to consider.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. So we are in discussion. If there's no more, all in favor of the motion as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. That will be on our agenda for next Tuesday. That concludes Section 4, Section 5, Judicial Matters. There are no agenda items. Section 6, Legal Matters, Discussion and Possible...
Update on noise ordinance?
Oh, I'm sorry. No. I went right past it. Thank y'all. Section 4C, Update on Noise Ordinance Pilot Program. Good eye. Glad y'all caught that. I was up late shooting fireworks.
Mayor, you have before you a spreadsheet for the data collected during the month of June. We had 8 citizen-generated complaints for the entire month. The only repeat location was Hobcar Brewery. There's a house that backs up to that location. Average decibel readings for all readings, officer-initiated readings and citizen, was 58 decibels as an average. The high was 72. The low was 45. So. Happy to answer any questions.
High 72, low 45?
Correct.
Okay, so...
And the items highlighted in yellow, those are the proactive readings that we've done. Those were citizen complaints. So, for example, the 72 high reading, that was something that we did, took a reading, and it wasn't as a result of a citizen complaint.
Got it. Give me a second. That was where...
And Chief, we have 30 more days on the pilot?
Correct.
Thank you.
The end of this month.
More days. I would like to ask the members of the committee, our pilot program has it at 55 decibels from the property of the complainant. As you look at this and you look at these numbers, what trends, just what are your thoughts?
For me personally, I think raising it to 60 and kind of splitting the difference between the 65 versus the 55. Mm-hmm. And I think that would give, I think 60 is reasonable from the complainant's property. And I think would affect the most egregious sound violations, but still allow kids playing at the pool to have a good time.
The one at the top up there, Hopcall Brewing, if I remember, that's on Long Point Road, as it mentions. That's the one you go down, you turn left. And that, I guess it does back up to the neighborhood.
It does. If you were look at it from above. The brewery is kind of next to a bunch of shipping containers and parking area,
right.
But diagonally, the property line diagonally is right in somebody's backyard.
Okay.
So it's that close proximity.
And that's the friction point right there, is that neighborhood right there. Okay. And so in that case, there was a warning. Is that right?
That's right.
And so what happens is what? They turn the music down a little bit?
That's correct.
Okay. Is there any case, going off script here a little bit, is there any case where something like that has resulted in them having to pull the plug and just not have music?
I think in that instance, they might have turned the music off. The request was to turn it down. But we've not told somebody, you have to shut it down.
Have
we
to
say,
shut
you
it
have
down.
To you have to turn it down.
So in effect, your officers have never gone out and shut down outdoor entertainment. They just said, you know, we've gotten a complaint. It ought to come down a little bit.
During the context of this study, we've not done that.
Right.
In the past, yes, there have been times when we have shut down music.
Okay.
During the confines of this pilot program,
has it?
We've not. We've okay. asked people to turn it down. They've complied. We have not had an issue.
Okay. I think, and Ms. Whitley, to your point as well, I think people will be pleasantly surprised to see, if you look down this column where the readings are and match them up with these yellow, sort of the preemptive readings that we just did without a complaint or anything, to listen to a lot of conversation around town, you would think those decibel levels were near 100, right? And when you look at them, they are in the low 60s to the 40s to the upper 50s. I mean, it's rare to see one above. What's the highest one I see there? 64 and a half?
72. I see 72.7 down at the bottom.
Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I was looking in this upper section.
75 of the condos.
Right. But those are, you know.
Outliers.
Outliers. They really are. So I guess part of the takeaway of this is that whatever outdoor entertainment there is, and we're right in the thick of it in our town, it's not as loud as until we started measuring this and y'all started bringing us these great charts. We really didn't know what it was. It was just sort of subjective. And now we have objective readings and we have a much more firm baseline on this. And I really appreciate y'all doing all this, because realize if they weren't doing these on their own, we'd only have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, we'd have 7 or 8, you know, citizen concerns. But
and three
the police
of them
are
from
out
the same
there.
Location.
Yeah, right.
And some of the challenging with the citizen concerns is when we arrive, oftentimes the noise is already gone, so we can't take a measurement.
Right.
A trash company picking up a dumpster, it's already gone, can't
right.
measure it. So there's some challenges there.
Right.
But, at the end of this month, I'll do a summary for July and then a cumulative summary for the 90 days.
Okay, that sounds good. And then at that point, it'll come to the committee. We will make a recommendation on the final wording and measurements in the ordinance and then send it to council. Right?
Yes, sir. It'd be in that model, it would be available for the August council meeting.
Got it.
Great. Thank you.
Chief,
yes, sir.
In your professional opinion, is this ordinance giving you what you do when you also need to do their job? So is there anything you want us to take a hard look at?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, committee. Now is it okay if we move on to the next?
Yeah.
Thank you. Would not want to do anything out of sequence here. No judicial matters. Number 6, legal matters. Discussion and possible action on a proposed ordinance regarding decorum during public meetings, which also, unless I'm forgetting, is not just about public meetings, but on town property, and not just involving elected officials.
Yes, sir. That is a correct summary. This comes back to you. This committee asked us to take a look at our own ordinances, other jurisdictions, to provide some guidance for the committee and ultimately council in determining some possible amendments or a new ordinance. So with that said, we've put together a short, very short PowerPoint. Mr. DeFord is going to manage that for you.
Good afternoon, Mayor, committee members. As David said, this comes from last month's committee. We were asked to take a look at other jurisdictions and how they may handle conduct within public buildings and on government-owned grounds. Before we get into the example ordinance that we've prepared, I just want to put up the disorderly conduct ordinance that is on the books currently. And I'm sure Councilman Ritchie or Chief Arnold can speak much more intelligently than I could on that ordinance. I won't go through line by line what this says, but it generally prohibits violent or violent conduct that poses a threat to others or another's property, prohibits provocative conduct aimed at causing a fight or engaging in one, and it generally prohibits fighting words as well. This ordinance is townwide. It's not specific to town-owned property. It is anywhere within the municipal limits of Mount Pleasant. Move on to the example ordinance. This comes largely from the Code of Federal Regulations that governs federally owned property. So I'll just roll through this quickly. It states, all persons entering in or on town property are prohibited from loitering, exhibiting disorderly conduct as defined in the town's disorderly conduct ordinance, or exhibiting other conduct on town property that creates loud or unusual noise or nuisance, threatens the safety or security of another person, interferes with a public meeting, unreasonably obstructs the use of entrances, foyers, lobbies, offices, etc., otherwise impedes or disrupts the performance of official duties by town employees or officials, or prevents the general public from obtaining the administrative services provided on town property in a timely manner. This is a list that's just some examples. They can be changed out. We can add to it or take from it or modify it. If you will allow me, before we get into any discussion or questions, the example penalties, of course, we can impose a misdemeanor offense, which would, under state law, carry a max penalty of up to 30 days imprisonment, not more than $500 fine. Removal from town property, just as a caveat to that, that would not be a permanent expulsion from town property. It would be more so cooling off period for someone who's violating that ordinance. And then lastly, a civil fine not to exceed $500. So with that, I'll go back to the example ordinance and open it up to discussion or any questions.
Yes, Ms. Whitley.
Thank you so much for your work on this. I think that this code of conduct ordinance with these items A through F is a positive addition to the disorderly conduct ordinance already in existence. I think moving forward to the slide on fines, I don't think that a misdemeanor offense is something that we would want to have. For me personally, I think removal from town property and imposition of a fine would be enough of a deterrence, I think, to raise this to the level of a misdemeanor. We don't want to curb people's ability to express themselves but as long as they're not within that violation. But I think our disorderly conduct ordinance has a misdemeanor carried along with that, and I think that ordinance rises more to the level of a misdemeanor. So I think removing someone from town property and imposing a civil fine would be an appropriate penalty for violating this new ordinance, and then trigger the misdemeanor when it violates the disorderly conduct.
Question about that, ma'am. Or you impose a civil fine, they don't pay the fine. You still have to have some vehicle there to have an either or, am I correct?
That's correct, sir. Okay, so well, yeah. You say either or. We can impose a civil fine and bring it through the court system and do that, but as our council very well knows, we dealt with this very much over the last few years with the council had that discussion. Yes, sir, it is more difficult to enforce.
Yes, it is. Based on my question from my fellow committee members, entry for y'all, there's some of the conduct ordinance from state into town. It gives our police department the authority, always has, when I sat in the seat, Chief Arnold did, to remove somebody from this property. Two, pretty much enforcing anything that you've added to this, the decorum ordinance. Isn't that correct that we can still choose pretty much what's outlined here based on our municipal ordinance already?
Yes, sir. As discussed last month, our current ordinance provides significant leeway and discretion This would serve just as an added, you know, always, we always try to keep in mind that when we introduce ordinances, there's the deterrence aspect. There's also the education to our public aspect, and I think this would fall into the latter category, and at least provide something that council can utilize from where you're sitting right now. That would be the benefit of it, whether that's agreeable, whether council agrees with that or not. That's what I would say the main benefit would
be. When we say something that council views in here, so you're saying this, if council could say this person is violating, remove them?
No, sir. I just think it's something that at least our council can rely on for support rather than a threatening, not that our council would threaten, but relying on the criminal activity, that it would provide an education to our citizens. What are the rules when you're in a council meeting or on council or on town property?
I appreciate that. Yeah. I feel like our disorderly conduct covers all that. I'm not necessarily in favor of adding in another layer of rules for our police department to have to kind of wade through. That's kind of what we're doing with our noise ordinance now. We're trying to give them something more specific to deal with for our disorderly conduct, in my opinion. Professional opinion, we've been doing this a long time. I think we have some solid work on this whole fund. It's just my point of view. Thank you.
Okay. Councilman?
I believe that what we've received from Mr. Ford is much easier to understand than the earlier version. And if you go to the next slide, I have a question of what's the difference between number one and number three, because it specifically says misdemeanor offense up to $500 fine, and then a civil offense, civil fine, not to exceed $500. What's the difference in those two? Okay.
Be subject to a criminal standard in court. And remember also that the state law provides that there is also the option for up to 30 days in prison. So on the third item, the civil fine is just the effect of that. There's no reporting of criminal record, there's no criminal responsibilities related to it. That's simply the implementation. It is a financial.
Okay. I have a question. I have a question about the civil fine. Is it possible as a that if you refuse to pay the civil fine, that you could be barred from town property until the fine is paid?
I believe we have a clause for a trespass. I'm not sure of the answer to that. I'm going to have to speak to our town prosecutor.
Because I think that could be that could be a way, like, to put some teeth into it, that if you do not pay your fine, that you cannot be on town property. You know, if some parents are heckling at a little league, you know what I mean, at like a game like that, and then they get removed and they refuse to pay the fine, then the trespassing would come into play, maybe.
I think there are other ways we can do that.
Okay.
In addition to your non-criminal fine, obviously, if the behavior is such that if there is cause to keep someone up under the safety standpoint, you're asking, in addition to your non-criminal fine,
yes, that was my question. Thank you.
Go right ahead.
I'm just tagging to that point with the trespassing. I mean, we've used that here before. I can think of, again, while Steve, we had a very disruptive individual that would come to the mayor's office often, to the police department, and we actually wound up putting him on trespass notice.
Oh.
Town. So,
yeah,
I think we have that ability now to do those things.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And sorry, but that was with repeated offenses? So almost like a three strikes rule?
Well, with him, with three strikes rule, this was just with the behavior. You can see it ramping up, and I dealt with this individual over and over and over to the point where we had to keep you from coming on here for the safety of the town employees, and their harassment and within the trespass limits. Didn't like it, but it took care of the problem. Mm-hmm. We did.
How is a trespass notice done? Is that through a county is that a county magistrate thing?
No, sir.
We can issue that. Police department issues the trespass notice. The copy of the notice is given to the person that's asked for the notice. In this case, probably the police department would do it. And this, let's make a change, chief. It's good until the person who issues it revokes it. So it's still the trespass. So at some point, we could issue the trespass notice and if the person started behavior change or they became remorseful, whatever the case may be, it can be revoked and that person can be back on town property. So we have that currently in place that we can use.
And I'll ask anybody involved, have we had some situations at any recreational activities that have risen to the level where the police have had to be officially involved, Chief?
Probably yes.
Okay.
And I can't think of a specific instance off the top of my head, but we have responded to parents yelling at referees, things like that. We show up, sir, you need to leave, calm down, and that's the end of it.
Okay.
I can't remember off the top of my head of an arrest we made because of that type of behavior.
Right.
But usually, like so many things, we show up, we do our best to de-escalate the situation, calm people down, and get them to leave.
Right.
So it's happened. It doesn't happen often.
That's good.
We're very fortunate.
Yeah. And how about so far as staff is concerned, people getting, like you were just describing, you know, intimidating, yelling. Because one of the questions I have, and what I was getting ready to say a minute ago, and I'm glad you made those remarks first. I'd like to take maybe 30 days and sort through this, because I'm trying to figure out, you know, is belligerent behavior just yelling and screaming at somebody, whether it's an elected official, somebody that they're paying their taxes to, yelling at our, you know, at the window down here when they have to pay a fine, you know, what actually is belligerent behavior? And I saw some of that list. There's also a state statute, as I understand, and then there's the local statute.
Correct.
But we want to have decorum in town hall, and we don't want people, people can be mad, they can be upset, not everybody gets what they want, but yelling and screaming at people in the halls of government, the halls of justice, is not something that we ought to tolerate.
I agree.
Okay. All right. Are y'all okay? Let's look at what was proposed to you. I don't think we need to rush anything for a week from today.
I would like to get feedback from the rest of committee on thoughts of removing a misdemeanor offense from the penalty for this, if we did move forward with this, because I feel like disorderly conduct covers that.
I don't disagree. It does cover gender. I agree with you, ma'am, and I think that's why I keep going back to our disorderly conduct. Pretty much covers this, and we have used it successfully in the past. I know I personally, Senator Chief, have used it, and I think it's, I'm happy to look at this to see if there's any utility to it, mm-hmm. But for the disorderly conduct, it'll cover your fine. And what concerns me with the civil fine, it's almost like the HOA fine. You don't pay it, then what? Of course, you get a lien on your home or something with the HOAs, but you know, if you want something with teeth, that's our disorderly conduct. And in our trespass notice, I mean, we have things that we can certainly do and control, and we have. And Mayor, I know when you asked about the thing at the rec department or the ball fields, mm-hmm. I can think of one time in my time here that we actually responded for an assault or someone assaulted. It was another parent or a referee or something, and we made the arrest. That person went to jail. I think it was a coach, as a matter of fact, or something we were involved with. So I think we do a good job dealing with that and handling it. But if you're going to have something like this, Ms. Whitley, I think you're going to have the penalty phase. So if you do assign a fine to it, they refuse to pay that fine, then what? You have to have something where you can say, well, you can wind up either paying or you can have up to 30 days or discretion of the judge. That's the way I see it.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Have we given you anything clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'll answer the question that needs an answer, and we're certainly happy to provide during this period of time any additional information that the committee wishes.
Sure. Thank you. So we will delve into that a little more before we do anything. All right. Item 6B is discussion and possible action regarding change to qualifications for design review board.
Thank you, Mayor. This is came from last month. There was discussion about some difficulties in our, assigning or filling positions on our design review board. And if you look at the screen in front of you, this is our design review board organization ordinance. And the proposed change would be on item number 4. And we would be taking out the shall language related to special expertise and implementing a more general should language to the extent there are local resources available. This matches up with other language from our boards and commissions and the landscape architect, state licensed architect, and professional engineer or licensed general builder contractor. Preference would be given to those, but not mandatory, should we not be able to fill those positions.
Right.
Mayor, yes. I'm the one who caused this to be coming to us today to solve a problem. We have a DRB. And so it looks good to me. My only suggestion is if between now and next Tuesday, if you could look at the state laws governing registered landscape architect versus state licensed architect or one licensed professional engineer versus state licensed. You see where I'm going. There is a definite specific listing under state law of what these positions would be.
Right.
And so that I would just offer that to the attorneys.
It's a excellent question and point, and we did look at that last month as well, and registered, best I can tell, seems to be the same as state. There, to your point, I don't believe there is a distinction.
Right.
There is no registered distinction, so we can alter that to licensed, state licensed as well.
Yeah, if you just keep them all three
right
designations the same, it would make sense. And I can't speak to the general building contractor's license. I don't know anything about that, but I do know a little bit about the others.
There is a general contractor license as well. So
the point of this is we have had trouble getting a landscape architect or whatever.
Yes, sir.
We have had otherwise qualified people who would be good board members, but we couldn't appoint them if we were following the letter of our own ordinance, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and in this way, we would give preference to somebody with that, but we could still fill those seats. I don't know how many registered landscape architects there are to choose from who also want to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Yes, ma'am.
Is there a way to update the language so that should have the following expertise, and instead of saying one registered, one state architect, one engineer, one contractor, there could be more than one? I mean, if we have three amazing architects apply, I think we should have the flexibility, instead of just choosing one of each, to should come from the pool of these careers, right? Like, so three of the seven members should pull from the pool of architect, landscape architect, professional engineer, or licensed building contractor, because we could have four building contractors or three building contractors. I think, but I like the change, but I think I want to give us even more flexibility. Yeah, okay. And do you think we can have that language ready for Tuesday?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, then I move that we recommend Mr. Chapman's suggestions and to the change to this ordinance with the additions by this committee, recommendation for approval to full council Tuesday.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. The only question I have is it lawyerly enough to say should, is it, could someone in the community say, well, what do you mean you said should? You said they should, right? Does I could just see, you know, maybe I've been up here too long in too many lawsuits. Is there a better way to say it than should?
That is for council to decide. There are certainly different ways to say it.
Okay.
It depends what this committee and council wish. For example, we can use prioritize. For example, if that's the way you'd rather see it, is a priority.
Emphasize or prioritize?
I like prioritize.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay.
But there are so many different background qualifications that are taken into consideration.
Right.
Perhaps, you know, that's the way to do it.
So right.
we can change that as well.
And I'm also thinking in terms of, as we know, with things that we have to deal with in executive session, as the design review board decisions are becoming more and more critical, getting more and more public scrutiny, somebody might just say, oh, well, you know, so the tighter the wording is on that, the better I think we'll do.
Okay.
So we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. That concludes our agenda. Item number 7 is to adjourn. So we stand adjourned.